We will continue this morning the catechism lessons, and today lesson 32, how to make a good confession. One last lesson pertaining to the sacrament of penance. Before entering the confessional, how should we prepare ourselves for a good confession? Before entering the confessional, we should prepare ourselves for a good confession by taking sufficient time not only to examine our conscience, but especially to excite in our hearts sincere sorrow for our sins and a firm purpose not to commit them again. The value of your confession, you might say, will be proportionate to the preparation before confession. No preparation before you go in, then very little extra grace as a result of your confession. Most prayer books, missals, have not only an examination of conscience, but also prayers that can be said before and after confession, which are very beneficial. So remember the importance of always taking sufficient time. Never come in the church and just simply go right into the confessional, but take time to prepare yourself. We should begin our confession in this manner. Entering the confessional, we kneel, and making the sign of the cross, we say to the priest, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." And then we say how long it has been since our last confession. There has to be some accusation of being a sinner. Some people were trained to make their confession by saying part of the Confiteor. "I confess to Almighty God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, all the saints, and you, Father, that I have sinned." And then they go on. But at least to say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. For I have sinned." You begin by making an acknowledgement to the priest that you are a sinner. Again, in some areas, some parishes, children are taught to even say the entire Confiteor in English at the beginning of their confession, but at least to say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned," and then to state how long it has been since your last confession. You should take special note of the fact that when you're going to confession, you moderate your voice so that you can be heard distinctly by the priest, but by no one else. Not to speak in such a loud whisper, so that others outside the confessional could hear you. And yet, on the other hand, you should not mumble or speak too quickly that you could not be heard by the priest. After telling the time of our last confession, if we have committed any mortal sins since that time, we must confess them, and also any that we may have forgotten in previous confessions, telling the nature and number of each. We may also confess any venial sins we wish to mention, and it is certainly beneficial to do so. If there is some reason why a sin, which ordinarily would be mortal, was venial, we should mention this fact, but we should not try to excuse ourselves with reasons that are unsound and makes no substantial difference. In other words, you are there to confess your sins, not to try and minimize the guilt, not to say, "Well, the reason I did this was because this person made me angry. That's why I said what I shouldn't have said," etc. Well, the fact is, you said something you shouldn't have said. That's a sin. And why try and excuse it? There's no purpose to that. If a sin which otherwise might be mortal indeed for you was venial, then that should be said. If you go into the confessional and say, "I ate meat on Friday twice," and that's all you say, and then you go on and confess some other sins, and supposing that you indeed ate meat on Friday, but you totally forgot it was Friday, and you never would have done that if you realized it was Friday, well, then it's not a mortal sin. As a matter of fact, it's no sin at all. And so by not explaining that circumstance, you're giving the priest the impression that you committed two mortal sins when in reality you didn't. And so that would not be trying to excuse yourself. That's something you should do. Explain those circumstances, which would make the sin what it was, less serious. It is not necessary to mention cases in which we were entirely unable to obey a law of the church. For example, it is Sunday and you are sick, you are so sick you can't even go out of the house, you miss Mass on Sunday. You don't have to say, "I missed Mass on Sunday because I was sick." You could. As a matter of fact, some people won't feel right unless they say that. And I certainly can see nothing wrong with that feeling that way, because we should feel wrong, even though not that we did wrong, but feel bad about the fact we couldn't go to Mass, we were sick, we didn't commit even a venial sin. But it's good to feel bad about it. Not that you did something wrong, but you wished that you could go to Mass. And so there is no obligation to mention that when you can't obey a law such as going to Mass on Sunday due to illness. There's no sin, but it's certainly not wrong at all to mention it. In regard to mentioning the names of other persons in the confessional, what should be noted? First of all, we should not complain of the faults of others, since confession is intended for the telling of our own sins. Don't try and talk about the sins of other people. We're there to confess our own sins. And secondly, in case the confession of our sins requires a reference to other persons, we should never reveal their identity, never mention them by name. Never mention another person by name if it's necessary for you to say that there was another person involved. Well, you can mention there was this other person or however it works in, but not to mention the name of that individual. What should we do if we cannot remember the exact number of mortal sins? If we cannot remember the exact number of mortal sins, we must tell the number as nearly as possible, or say how often we have committed such sins in a day, a week, a month, or a year. Supposing you had a person that has not been to confession for months and had numerous mortal sins, what would he do? He's under obligation to mention all his mortal sins entirely, completely, the exact number. What if he cannot remember the exact number? Say, I committed this sin twice a week over the past 3 months approximately, or on the average. This is the best he can remember. He has to do the best he can, because it's very, very important to mention all mortal sins, including the number of times. If we discover after confession that through forgetfulness we accused ourselves of a smaller number of mortal sins of a particular kind than we actually committed, what must we do? The next time you go to confession, a person would have to confess the remainder of the times. Supposing that a person confessed in mortal sins, he said, about 10 times I did this over the past 3 months, whatever it was. And then he realized afterwards, well, come to think of it, it's certainly been more than 10 times. As a matter of fact, it's been at least 15 times. Well, he would be obligated next time he went to confession to confess that, although it would be a good confession if there was no intent to keep back any mortal sins. What should we do when we have committed no mortal sin? Hopefully, pray God we have not, since our last confession. When we have committed no mortal sin since our last confession, we should confess our venial sins or some sin told in a previous confession for which we are again sorry, in order that the priest may give us absolution. Sins confessed and repented of are the matter of the sacrament. You know that every sacrament has matter and form. The matter does not necessarily have to be something tangible, like pouring of water in baptism, or the Holy Chrism in confirmation. The matter of confession is sins that are confessed and the sentiments with which they are confessed. Sorrow, contrition, firm purpose of amendment. That is the matter of the sacrament. Now, if a person goes to confession and he has no mortal sins, he has to confess some sins for which he is sorry that he has committed in order that he might receive absolution. So it is a good practice always to confess a sin of your past life or sins for which you are especially sorry. Always. Why? Supposing you have no mortal sins and you have only venial sins to confess and you don't really feel special sorrow for them. They're just venial sins. I shouldn't say just venial sins, but they are venial sins. And you find it hard to really feel sorrow, to really detest those venial sins, to really be determined not to commit them again. And you have to have that for at least one of them. And so by confessing a sin of your past life for which you are really sorry and determined not to commit again, you make certain that you will have the proper dispositions to make a valid confession, to make a good confession. And it is always a good practice. We should end our confession by saying, I am sorry for these and for all the sins of my past life, especially for. And that is always the way we should end. The priest, sometimes if a person is confessing his sins and then just stops and doesn't say anything to say, I'm sorry for these and all the sins of my past life, the priest might think that the person is trying to think of something else, forgot something. So you should let the priest know you're done by saying, I am sorry for these and all the sins of my past life, especially for such and such a sin. What is a general confession? A general confession is one that includes all the sins told in previous confessions, either of our whole life or a part of it. If a person made a couple of bad confessions, then the next time he went and is resolved to make a good confession, that would necessarily be a general confession, because he would have to go back to the last good confession. So a general confession would cover a section of a person's life or his entire life. And a general confession of one's entire life should never be done often. As a matter of fact, it normally is done only once in a person's lifetime. Usually when a person is preparing for the sacrament of matrimony, embarking on a new state of life, that is a good time to make a general confession. Religious do so usually when they become a novice or around the time they enter the religious life. But a general confession should not, normally speaking, ever be repeated, because to do so would be to foster scrupulosity, which is not good. How can a person decide whether or not he should even make a general confession? By consulting the confessor, and he should follow exactly the advice he gives. After confessing our sins, we should answer truthfully any question the priest asks, seek advice if we feel that we need any, listen carefully to the spiritual instruction and counsel of the priest, and accept the penance he gives us. If the priest gives you a penance in confession which you cannot perform, you think it's too difficult. Supposing the priest tells you to fast for several days and you've been forbidden by the doctor to fast even in Lent. Your physical condition does not require it. Well, you should say so. You should ask the priest if he could give you something else. Explain why you feel you're not able to perform this penance or that, and ask if he could give you something else that would be equivalent but a different kind of penance. Most often, the priest will give confession in the form of prayers to be said, but sometimes it may be almsgiving, good works, attending Mass, fasting, etc. When the priest is giving us absolution, we should say from our heart the act of contrition, I might add slowly, thinking of the words, in a tone to be heard by the priest. You say your act of contrition loud enough that the priest can hear it, and while you say the act of contrition, the priest is saying the form of absolution, which usually takes them a little bit longer than it will take you to say the act of contrition. After leaving the confessional, we should return thanks to God for the sacrament we have received, beg our Lord to supply for the imperfections of our confession, and promptly and devoutly perform our penance. The best thing to do with regards to your penance is to say it right away, as soon as possible. When you read the lessons on confession and you think about confession, does it ever scare you a little bit to think, are my confessions always what they should be? Do I always really have sorrow for my sins, complete sorrow? Remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, contrition, interior, supernatural, supreme, universal. Was my confession entire? Do I really have the firm purpose of amendment? Well, of course, we can only do the best we can. We're human. And the best advice, I think, is what was given to me by the sister who taught me for preparation for first confession that I always remembered and have always done. And she said, you do the best you can to prepare for confession, to do everything correctly. You take sufficient time. And when you come out of the confessional, you give your confession to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And you ask the Sacred Heart of Jesus to forgive any imperfections in your confession, anything that wasn't quite as it should have been on your part in your confession. We're all human. No doubt our confession is going to be in some way defective, hopefully not seriously so, but a good practice and one that will prevent someone from worrying. Did I really make my confession as it should have been? To give your confession to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through Mary. Yes, do the best you can, but then entrust it to our Lord and our Blessed Mother that they will forgive anything defective in it, and then not to worry about it. It's best to say the penance right away in church, even before you leave the church. To say a prayer of thanksgiving for the grace of receiving that sacrament. Just like when you go to communion, you should always make a thanksgiving after communion. Why not for confession? It's a sacrament you've received, to take a little bit of time to thank God for that sacrament. And always, one more thing we were always taught, always to say a prayer for the priest. even if he doesn't say, pray for me or say a prayer for me. It's a very big responsibility the priest has, and you really owe it to him. When he takes the time to hear confession, he's gone through his studies to prepare for confessions, for hearing confessions, and he takes upon himself the responsibility before God of hearing your confession, you owe it to him to say a prayer for him. And we were always taught that's something we should take very seriously, because when you stand before Almighty God someday, one day, we all will, and God judges you, among other things, for all of your confessions, his judgment will abide by the priest's decision. As long as you were perfectly upfront with the priest, you told your sins, as we said in the last lesson, candidly, you were straightforward, you told your sins, and the priest forgave them or whatever, God will abide by that priest's decision. If the priest shouldn't have absolved you from your sins, and it was his mistake, he has to answer to God for it, not you. As long as you've told him everything and been perfectly honest in answering any questions he addressed to you, he is responsible before God for that decision. And that's a big decision. I remember Father Clement once saying that he got on a train and he was going somewhere, and it was a Saturday, a day that in big parishes is a busy day for priests. And he got on a train and sat next to a man, and in the course of conversation found that this man was a judge. And the man said, I heard three cases this morning, or four cases. He thought he had a big day, had really had a big day at work in the court hearing these different cases. Father Clement said, oh, I had about 60. And he looked at him surprised, and every confession is a case in which the priest as a judge must decide. And so remember to say a prayer for him. Now before we end, because this is the last lesson on confession, the next lesson is entitled Temporal Punishment and Indulgences, which has to do with confession. It is important for us to understand the need to atone even over and above the penance the priest gives us. But at least today's lesson is the last one directly pertaining to confession. And I would like to just encourage you to read from time to time a good book on confession, especially if you feel you need a little shot in the arm, you need a little more reading, a little more advice, a little more instruction on confession. One that is very good, especially for converts or non-Catholics that find it hard to understand confession, is The Secret of Confession by E.D.M. And another that is excellent is The Sinner's Return to God by Father Mueller. And in this book, The Sinner's Return to God, Father Mueller gives a couple of stories, examples, to try and help Protestants who would otherwise find it difficult to go to confession, to make it a little more easy for them as they prepare to become Catholics, to accept confession. And he gives the example of a famous cardinal who was consulted by non-Catholics as well as Catholics. And there was one non-Catholic woman who went to him frequently with her various troubles and trials. And one day in discussing with him these things, after the little discussion, he said to her one day, why don't you become a Catholic? Did you ever consider it? And she said, oh, I could never accept confession. And he said, what do you mean? And she said, I could never bring myself to tell my sins to a man. And the cardinal says, well, you've been doing that for years. And she said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you come to me and you tell me all your troubles and difficulties and your falls. What do you think confession is? But telling our sins, our falls, our trials, our difficulties to a priest in order to obtain advice and forgiveness. And she realized that, in effect, that's what she'd been doing to the priest, although not for the purpose of obtaining forgiveness. But he gives another example in there, which is one of which we should take note. The old saying, as a person lives, so will he die. And he says there was a man, a nobleman, a wealthy man in England, who did not want to amend his life, but wanted to have his cake and eat it too. He still wanted to go to heaven, don't we all? And so he procured a priest, and there were enough priests in England at this time that he could support this priest himself, and he had this priest lodge in his house. And he thought, well, I can go on living a life of sin, and all I have to do is when I'm dying, I'll call for this priest, he'll be right there, I'll go to confession to him, I'll go to heaven, maybe I have to go to purgatory, but I'll save my soul, and I can live it up. And so he did this, and he had this priest living right in his house. Well, of course, one day, he was dying. And he thought he was dying very rapidly, and he needed the priest. He wanted the priest right now. So he said to his servants, go to the priest's room and get him right away. Well, they went to the priest's room and they knocked on the door. No answer. They went and they looked through the entire house. And the sick man began to cry out. He thought he was dying. Hurry up with getting the priest. They began to call out the priest's name. They went back to his room and they opened the door. They couldn't find him there. And they went back and told the man who was dying, we can't find him anywhere. Well, the man expired without having the ministrations of the priest. And right after the man died, the servants went back to his room. And they looked in the room and the priest was sitting there reading his breviary. And they said, where were you? We looked all over the house for you. He said, I was right here all the time. I've been here for 2 hours. I've been here all morning long. I haven't gone out of my room. I've been reading the breviary for the past hour. And so they realized that a just punishment of God for this man's sin of presumption, abusing the mercy of God. Penance is a gift. It is a tremendous gift of God's mercy. But it must not be abused. It must not be taken for granted. Use the confession often. Go to confession often, but above all, remember to prepare well. Take sufficient time before confession, and again, sufficient time afterwards to thank God for this great gift you've received in being able to go to confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.